Over these past couple of months, we've been looking at these two characters, Ezra and Nehemiah, as they have helped in a rebuilding project. So they have been in exile with the rest of God's people. That exile has come to an end. Ezra and Nehemiah have returned back to their home, back to Jerusalem. But they've returned back for a building project. The walls around this special city of Jerusalem, the walls have been destroyed. The walls are just piles of rubble. There's no sense of security or protection in that place anymore. And so they're sent back to rebuild the city wall. And if you take time to go back and read through those scriptures again, you'll find that it was such an extraordinary feat. It was not an easy thing to quickly rebuild those massive walls. And yet, they did it together. Isn't it amazing? How much more God can do through us when we work together. These people who had been off in exile, these people who had been removed from the things that they loved and treasured, brought back and together under God, they do this amazing thing of rebuilding a wall. If you watched any of Friday night's Children in Need, you'll not only have enjoyed it, hopefully contributed to it, but you'll have seen their theme for the evening was simply, "Together we can. Together we can." And they gave so many examples of how that works out through their work. But this is one of those examples in Scripture where "together we can" is worked out as well. No one person, no Ezra, no Nehemiah is going to do this work on their own. But God calls those people to come together, and together they serve Him in building that wall. It is a truly astonishing feat. But it's not just about a wall, even though that's important for the security and the protection of Jerusalem, that they have this wall around the city again. It's not just about a wall, about stones and mortar put in place. It's much more than that. It's about building community. It's about building people. It's not just about having a big group of people in the same place and saying that's community. Not necessarily. You can gather all sorts of people into one place and put them together and they're not necessarily community. Community is when we have some sort of common purpose together. And so God's people are brought together in this community of people who've experienced and know the greatness and the goodness of their God, especially now as they look at these massive walls around the city and they think, wow, God did that. God helped us to build these walls again. And God's people are being rebuilt. It's interesting. As they finish their building project on the wall, they can't explain it any other way. They can't explain it in terms of their own skillfulness, their own hard work. They just give thanks to God for what has happened. Hudson Taylor, the pioneer missionary out to China, worked a lifetime and saw times very little fruit for his labor. But he said this, there are three stages in God's work. Firstly, when it seems impossible. Second stage, where it seems difficult. And the third stage, where it's done. Impossible, difficult, and done. And as these people gathered in Jerusalem, looked at the walls, they must have thought, wow, at a time that seemed to be impossible. Going through it, it must have been difficult. But thanks be to God. It's done. Impossible, difficult, and done. And so they move to give thanks to God. Verse 27 of that passage that Anne read for us simply talks about gathering up all of the Levites, gathering up all of those who were responsible for leading worship. That's what the Levites did. It was their responsibility to coordinate and lead and gather God's people in worship. So the Levites come together to celebrate. Celebration which is joyful, which is thankful, and which is directed towards the God who has brought them to this stage. It's not some individuals hidden away in a corner. It's God's people coming together. Together we can. It's God's people worshiping together. It's a recognition not simply that the building project was over, but it was a recognition that God had done it. God is great. We have sung it. God is good. And because of that, he's worthy of worship, which is joyous and thankful. Worship that's not wrung out of us as though it's some sort of duty. You don't get the sense that these folks gather in Jerusalem not with their shoulders down thinking, oh, flip, we're going to have to worship here for a while. No, they were just so overwhelmed by the goodness and greatness of God that there was nothing else they could do but worship. Sometimes we lose that sense. Sometimes we become so familiar and so just that's it about our faith, about what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, that we fail to be thankful, we fail to be joyous, we fail to worship. And we need to be taken back time and time again to remember all that God has done for us, especially in his Son, Jesus Christ. We delight to praise what we enjoy. We praise what we enjoy. Because the praise doesn't just express our enjoyment, it actually complements it. Came across this quotation from C.S. Lewis. It is not out of compliment that lovers keep on telling one another how beautiful they are. The delight is incomplete till it is expressed. It is not out of compliment that lovers keep on telling one another how beautiful they are. The delight is incomplete till it is expressed. It's not just thinking how much you love that other person, how beautiful that other person is. It's expressing it, and in expressing it, it adds to it. How much more so in our worship of God? It's not just knowing that God is great and good. It is expressing it joyfully and thankfully in worship, which is so important. Fully to enjoy God is to glorify him. And strangely enough, those two things are at the very start of our catechism. What's our chief end? What's our chief purpose? To enjoy God and to glorify him forever. Our enjoyment of God is a glorifying of God. If we're not enjoying our relationship with God, we're definitely not glorifying him, the one who is good and great, and has shown us amazing grace in Jesus Christ. I wonder what God has done in your life that you thought was impossible. The biggest thing that God has done in your life is to bring you to that saving faith in Jesus Christ. To bring you to that place where you know that because Jesus has died and has risen again, that your sins are forgiven. And that you are now a child of your heavenly Father. The Bible says it looked impossible because we were enemies of God, seemed difficult, but because of Jesus, it's done. And our joyful and thankful worship should express that. These folks came together to worship. They came together, and that is so important. Verse 31 onwards talks about these, that they were called to be united in community. Their common purpose was to glorify God. That's what brought them together. They all wanted to do that. It wasn't really about what they wanted or what they liked. I'm sure if you walked through that crowd in Jerusalem, there would have been different ideas about how we should do this, but their common desire, which went above and beyond all those likes and preferences and don't likes and grumblings that so often we experience, their common desire went above that. In this overwhelming desire to glorify and to honor God. Strange that it's so easy to become disunited over things which, when you sit back and look at it, are trivial. We sing of the amazing grace of God in Jesus Christ, and then we divide ourselves over these things which are really trivial. It is so easy to become disunited. I'm sure that's why Paul writes to the early church and says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. It's one of the signs of Christian maturity that we will make this effort to keep the spirit of unity. People alive to God, people who are alive to God and worship and getting on together, serving God, that's where we find our unity. And when we take our eyes off Jesus, then our eyes tend to be on ourselves and what I can do and what I need and what I like and what I want. And we begin then to splinter ourselves. Keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus pulls us together in Him. And in Him, we move from impossible to difficult to done. As you move on down through this passage, verse 43, as it talks about rejoicing, because God has given them great joy. It's not something that they have decided, you know what, we better be joyful, we better wear a smile. It's much, much deeper than that. God has given them this deep-seated joy. Everyone. We're told that young and old, male and female, everyone was out, part of this worship, part of this community coming together, giving thanks. And it was so amazing that the sound of rejoicing in Jerusalem could be heard far away. People far away were stopping what they were doing out in the field and thinking, what is that noise? And looking around and discovering, well, it's actually God's people rejoicing. Amazing thing. They weren't tucked away in a secret place. They weren't afraid to express their joy in God. Now, there's a challenge for us. Do the people around you and I, do the people around us stop and think, what's that noise? What's that rejoicing attitude from that person about? Why does that person seem so thankful? What is it that motivates that person to be so caring and compassionate? Do people around us stop and look and think and ask those questions? A joyless church is not a great witness to the goodness and grace of God. In fact, even the term a joyless church is a contradiction in terms. As those who have experienced the goodness and greatness of God in Jesus Christ, we should not be able to hold our joy back. In the midst of the anxiety that we go through, anxiety about the virus situation, the political instability, all those things that are going on, that anxiety, maybe crises in our lives, maybe the uncertainty that we face, all of these things, in the midst of all that, we have this deep joy in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus does not change, the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, irrespective of our circumstances. And while life may be difficult, and is difficult, that deep-seated joy that we have in Jesus never changes. Doesn't necessarily mean that we will always have a Cheshire Cat grin on our faces. But it does mean that we will have that deep joy that nothing can take from us. So is your joy, your thankfulness, our joy, our thankfulness, heard far away? Because it should be. And part of expressing that thankfulness is seen in this passage, because they come together at the end of this chapter to care together. Joy in the Lord, thankfulness for what God has done, will always express itself in caring and serving. Again, Paul says in Corinthians, Christ's love compels us. The love of Jesus just leaves me no choice but to care and to serve. And that should be our experience, our reality. Caring is one of the ways in which the joy of Jesus in our lives is heard far away. And again, many ways that this congregation does that. Heather just told you the number of shoeboxes last Sunday. I think it was 207 or so shoeboxes. 207 children that we will most likely never ever meet. 207 children will have those boxes to open, and you will put a smile on their face and love in their hearts. It's an expression of our joy. The support of this congregation for our friends and partners in Eswatini has been astonishing. What seemed impossible or difficult, it has done and is being done because of the joy of these people, this people, expressing itself in caring. The food trolley, month after month, that food trolley is groaning with groceries, with food that will go to the Oasis Food Bank and make such a difference. It's a way that we express our joy and thankfulness to God. Again, that little flyer for the Salvation Army, it's another opportunity to express our thankfulness. One of the ways that our joy will be heard far away is in how we care. Worshiping, being together, caring. Those are the things that marked this community as they gathered at the end of their building project. And God is still about building people. People who are united in worshiping and caring. It is great to see things beginning to restart and reopen around us here. But we do need to be so careful. You've seen the news. You know the figures. You know the dangers. We do need to be so careful. But in the midst of that, we need to be those who are also demonstrating our joy and thankfulness to God, the community of joyful, thankful people. But our building is not just about programs and events and organizations. In many ways, we can build programs, we can build events, we can build organizations. That's easy in some levels. God is about building people. Building people who have so experienced his goodness and his greatness and his grace in their lives that they just overflow into worship and into caring. May God grant us the grace to be that joyful, thankful, worshiping community and to express that joy wherever God places us.